This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma zidni ilma. Allahumma aftah masami'a qulubina li dhikrik. Ya Allah, open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance, to your words. Help us to understand them as you meant them to be. Help us to understand them in light of how the Prophet ﷺ explained them and how the Sahaba understood them, and make them a guiding light for our lives so that we implement them in our lives. We actualize the teachings of the Quran, not just for learning what it says. So we will continue, inshallah, with Surah Abasa, which is Surah number 80. And we said this is one of the early Meccan surahs, which starts with a particular incident, as we said, of a blind man, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was giving dawah to the elite leaders of Quraysh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking for the spread of Islam, was focusing more on them. So he frowned and he turned away because he was a little irritated that this man was interrupting him at this important time. And of course, as you know, that frown and that turning away was not seen by Abdullah ibn Maktum because he was blind. So it wasn't like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam insulted him because he couldn't see. Yet Allah on the arsh noticed the frown, a little furrow. And the fact that the Prophet ﷺ turned away from him and immediately in a gentle reprimand to the Prophet ﷺ, he said that you turn away from this man and you turn your focus to these elite people of position of wealth and status, and you don't know that perhaps this man could be purified who is nobody in society. He's a blind man. And you are focusing on those who think they are everything, istighna, who think that they are not in need of anything. Yet, out of honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this reprimand doesn't come as, you know, you frowned and you turned away. It comes in the third person. He frowned, abasa, watawalla, and he turned away. So it's a gentler way of saying, how dare you do that? He doesn't say, he said, that man turned away. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on in the next ayah to say, how did you know what was going to happen? In other words, it finds an excuse for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we start with that. And I didn't mention that these ayahs are a proof of the fact that the entire Quran is a divine word. Because if it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, what is the first thing he would do? He wouldn't be reprimanding himself. He wouldn't be saying that, oh, I made a mistake, or he made a mistake. So, and if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to hide any ayats of the Quran, he would have hidden this ayah that my Lord is reprimanding me. So it tells us that the Prophet ﷺ had no authority to ignore anything and not to say it out, even though it was a reprimand in a way to him. Okay. Now also to understand that reprimand is because he wasn't doing anything really wrong. He was doing his best for this deen. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from the best of creation the best of action. And Allah, in his infinite knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have liked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to focus on the blind man rather than on the leaders. Okay. So the condemnation is not of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a condemnation of these people, that these people are bad. And it's not your responsibility. There's no blame on you if they don't listen, if they don't convert. Don't lower yourself. Don't kill yourself. As elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Kahf, will you kill yourself? Or because they don't listen. Don't lower the Quran for them. Let them come up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually condemning and the Quraysh who were rejecting the message. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what is the value of a believer compared to a disbeliever. Value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not based on social status. It is not based on positions and possessions, but it is based on belief and actions, on sincerity, on authenticity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the message in the next few ayahs, talking about this is it's suhufim mukarrama, marfuatin mutahhara, bi'aydin barara, kiramin barara, bi'aydin safara. That this is a message that's elevated, that's honored with the honored angels. This is not something that you just throw at somebody, okay, if he doesn't want. And that also tells us how we should treat the Quran and pages of the Quran or anywhere where the name of Allah and the ayats are written, that they're not to be scattered around. Okay, exam is over, we leave it anywhere. They have to be properly taken care of. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a tadhkira. You know, innaha, this is a tadhkira. What is a tadhkira? It's a reminder. And we said the reminder only means that you already know about this. Because you might say the Quraysh didn't know. But we mentioned last time that this is a reminder because our ruh, our arwah, have already been given this message in the realm of the souls at the time of Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all the souls together from the side, from the back of Adam alayhi salam and said, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And we said, Qalu bala shahidna. So that reminder was already there. The natural fitrah of knowing the tawheed of Allah is already there when we are born. So therefore it's a reminder. We already know. And it is the strongest form of reminder, that once with this reminder comes, it will benefit those in whose hearts that there is still some light of that natural fitrah of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not benefit those like the example here of the arrogant Quraysh elite, the leaders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, last time we mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. That man is cursed, he's destroyed. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this attitude, takes a very negative, you know, scolding attitude, saying, مَا أَكْفَرَ. This is actually ma of ta'ajjub, that's what they say, that it's saying like a surprise, it's amazing that man is so arrogant. And the other ma is the ma of istifham, a question, what is the reason that he is so arrogant? Okay, ma akfara. So what is the reason of this arrogance and rejection? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it earlier, istighna. He thinks he is free of all need. He has a false sense of self-sufficiency. And therefore he feels arrogant that I don't need anybody's laws. I don't need anybody's help. I am in charge. And this is the prototype of this is mentioned in the surah before. An-Naziat, Fir'aun. And in this surah, the prototype is the leaders of the Quraysh. So after, because of this arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brings down the arrogant human being by a reminder of the reality of the human being. What are you? He says, from what were you created? What was your origin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, your origin was a base dirty fluid that you wash off clothes, and your end is a stinking corpse that's going to rot and it will go back into dirt, from which you will wash your hands again. And in between that birth and that death, what are you? You are just a container of excrement. You're carrying nothing but foul, putrid stuff. So why are you so arrogant? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down this arrogant person. This is your reality. Now, interestingly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this origin, he's, as we mentioned last time, he said, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. He says, from that conception, he says, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. that we made your path easy. And as we said, the majority of commentators have said, this is talking about the birth. That this big child comes out through such a narrow passage, Allah made it easy. Okay, we mentioned that. Then Allah, now the interesting thing is, Allah talks about birth. He says, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then he said, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَخْبَرَ. Then you die. Immediately after birth, Allah mentions death. So here there is an ishara, there is an indication that between birth and death is a very short time. It's a very, very short time. So be careful and take good care of that time. If you remember, when we are born, adhan is given in the right ear and iqama is given in the left ear. Reminding each one of us at birth that the iqama has already been called for the salah for which there will not be another adhan and iqama. What salah is that? Janazah. There is no adhan, no iqama. It has already been called. Another reminder, how much time is left after iqama that the salah starts very quickly. So these are mentioned. Also, they are mentioned together because there is a lot of similarities between birth and death. What are those, if you think about it? We don't know who delivered us. We know by information, but we don't know. Okay, this is given to us. And we don't know who buried us. We don't know who gave us a cleansing bath when we were born. And we don't know who gave us the cleansing bath, ghusl of the janazah. We don't know who received us and wrapped us up in the receiving blankets. And we don't know who wrapped us up in the sending blankets, which is our kafan. We don't know who was happy at our birth and who was sad. And we don't know who is happy and who is sad at our death. So life is so short. This is just an indication that we should look at iqama, for me has already been called. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. After أَقْبَرَ, after making you, putting you in the grave, ثُمَّ, then إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. This إِذَا is for certainty. It's not إِنْشَاءَ, if Allah wants, He will bring you back. It's saying, yes, when He wants, He will bring you back. And there is, in this إِذَا, there is also the immediacy that it's not going to be a gradual growth. You're going to come back as an adult. Okay, so you're not going to be growing and maturing like the first creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْدِي مَا أَمَرَ. And we said about this lamma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nay, mankind has not fulfilled the responsibility that was given to him. But using the word lamma as opposed to lam leaves open the possibility that person may come. So you might translate that is that man has not yet fulfilled what he was ordered to do. In other words, after all of this time, man still hasn't, but there is still time, there is still hope. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, lam means it's done. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still giving us a chance that we wake up. So after this stern reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we don't have any control of anything. Now He reminds us through a different strategy of positive encouragement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His blessings so that out of gratitude, we should come into Islam. We should recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَّا إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ. Then let man look, or nadara means to stare intently. Look at the food and carefully consider and reflect upon it, on his food. Like when you have some food, where did this come from? Look at just, oh, this is an orange, this is an apple. What are the processes that went into this apple? Where did the water come from? What was the soil? What was the seed? How did it grow? How long did it grow? How did it get saved from diseases? How did it come to becoming ripe? Who plucked it? Who sent it that it came to you? All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for you. It is part of your risk. The word ta'am, as he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let man look at his ta'am. Ta'am is used for human beings, the food of human beings, whereas akal is used for general food, which could be animal food also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, reflect on your food. Your food, how it came, who provided it, and it should give you energy, because that's what you need to survive, energy to obey him. And your first food, you know what your first food was? What was the means of your first food? It's called the umbilical cord. It wasn't coming as fruits, and it wasn't the milk of your mother, but it was the umbilical cord, which gets thrown away. But now we are finding multiple benefits in the umbilical cord. So-called what? Stem cells. That there is so much in here that we don't even know about, that it can reproduce a whole human being out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, think. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us, what is the process of this food that you have in your plate? And we should, when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before we eat, we should look at the food and reflect for a moment. Ya Allah, from where have you prepared this? It's not my wife or my husband or my cook who prepared it. Allah prepared it for you and sent it to you from whatever it took, the complex means. If sometimes you should just sit and reflect, trace that food back all the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how to reflect. He says, "Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba." He says, and we poured forth water. Sababna means to send a lot, like buckets and buckets of water. We poured down buckets and buckets of water profusely. What is he talking about? Rain. Allah's one. Because if there is no rain, everything dries. Nothing. You're going to get nothing. Life would end. سَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ سَبَّ ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, شَقَقْنَا, we split, we ripped open the earth in clefts. We ripped open the earth. What does it mean? Now the word شَقَق, which means to tear, is not used for normal things that are torn, such as cloth or paper or even skin. Shakakna is used for tearing things that are not normally torn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is using it that the earth is torn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sama. Shakka. Shakka sama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hajr, the mountains and rocks being torn. He's talking about they are cleaved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says rocks are cleaved, that water comes out. They are torn. These are not things that normally tear. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the earth, which is so hard in some places, sometimes cement, sometimes rocks, that it is split open by what, and what comes out is the most fragile state of a plant, a germinating little, tiny little green thing. If you just do this, it'll break. Yet it splits the earth and comes out. And sometimes you go hiking, you'll see big trees on huge rocks. How did they split this? How did this seed come out of this? It's things to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we split and we ripped open the earth, clefts, for things to sprout through. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّةً. And anbata means to germinate, to grow, to ensure that something grows properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually uses this inbata word for Maryam alayhi salam. Okay? That she, to make her grow properly. Okay? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying habba. Habba means all grains. all forms of grain, you know, the rice, wheat, barley, corn, all forms of grain. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا. Now he's talking about the earth that we cause in this earth, these clefts that we have made, which are fed by the water that we have poured down, to grow essential staple foods. Grain is the essential staple food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with that. Okay. وَعَيْنَبًا وَقَدْبًا. عَيْنَب. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about grapes. عَيْنَب. وَقَدْبًا. قَدْبًا is the green vegetables and plants that grow under the earth, and part of it is above, such as, you know, carrots, beets, you know, even cucumbers, and, you know, all of those things, radish. The animal may eat the top and you eat what's underneath. So this is qadba. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. This is well known to the Arabs. What is zaytun? The olives. And the nakhla, which is the date palm. So now, are date palms and olives the essential staple food? No. These are luxury items. Now you can get very, very expensive dates. You can get very expensive olives. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the range from everybody's food to the food of the most luxurious. That was zaytuna wa nakhla wa hadaiqa ghulba. And hadaiq, gardens, in ghulba means they are, ghulba is the female of, aghlab means so dense and so overwhelming, intertwined, dense green foliage. Thick and overpowering. Wa faakihatan wa abba. What is faakiha? Fruits. And abba is pastures, green pastures, which is what cattle graze on, grasses, and those fodder for the animal. Okay. Now, interesting, the word fakiha comes from fakiha. Fakiha means something that gives you joy, makes you happy. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people in Jannah, fakihun. Okay. They are be overjoyed. So, that's where the word fakiha came, means something that you eat that gives you joy. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we gave you fruits for mankind, fakiha, and abba for their cattle. Okay. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after that, mata'an lakum wa li'an'amikum. Mata'an, provision. Okay. This is not the mata of enjoyment, although with your provision you enjoy, but provision for lakum, for you mankind, wa li an'amikum, and for your cattle. Okay. Now you can also see here, interestingly, that all the foods that are mentioned first are eaten by human being. And the last thing mentioned here, abba, is for the cattle. So the tartib that Allah has put here, after all of these, is for the man, what came first, and for the animal, as he says, what came last. Elsewhere in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about your animals and cattle, and then talks about you, then he puts the zara, the cattle food first, and the human food. So everywhere in the Quran, it's matched. You don't have to think, because this is a divine revelation. Nothing is going to be unmatched in its thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us all of this, which we already know, but we ignore, so that it helps us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflect on how all of these types of fruits and vegetables coming out of the same earth with the same water and seeds that frequently look similar, yet everyone is different. Everyone is different in flavor, in species, in taste, and even in the same species, this apple is different from this orange. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the same earth produced them, the same water. Why has he given us this? For us to recognize him, for us to show gratitude. So this is the positive reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of one of his favors, which is food, which is so important for us. Because, you know, people talk about money, money, money. Now suppose you had all the money in the world and there was no food to buy. Can you eat your money, your gold or your dollar bills? No. Ultimately, all of that is about food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. He doesn't talk about your wealth. Because wealth is of no value except for what it can buy. So if you're a billionaire in a place where there is famine and no food, you can't buy anything. You are just like anybody else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us down to that. The final thing that we are looking for is food, okay, to survive. Now if these two reminders, the harsh negative reminder and this positive reminder of His favors, if these are not sufficient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that they are, you know, kafara, He has denied. Why? Because He feels istaghna. He feels that He is not in need. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the surah with the final, third and final warning. Okay. This is for the istighna types who did not listen to the first one, who turned a deaf ear to the second one. Now He says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Then when the sakha means a deafening sound, a blast, that calamity, and the Mufassirun have said that this refers to the second blowing of the trumpet. Israfil alayhi salam, first blowing of the trumpet, everything will be destroyed. Then there is a gap, everything dies, everyone dies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Israfil back to life and says, blow the second trumpet, and this is the sakha. When that will, everybody will wake up. Okay? But it's be so loud, it's a deafening thing. And it's interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to the people. And with the tazkira, the best of reminder, and they are turning literally a deaf ear to Him. He said, you won't be able to ignore this because this sound will come and it will make you deaf. So you will not ignore it. What is this going to bring? The second blowing of the trumpet, the sakha, will be the announcement for the start of the day of judgment. This is what it's all about. Yawma yafirru al-mar'u min akhi wa ummihi wa abi wa sahibatihi wa bani. What does that mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yawma, on that day, Yafirru al-mar'u. Mar'u means a man, is another word like rajul. Mar'u means man. Mar'u means a person who is chivalrous, who is noble. Rajul is usually used for a person who is brave and strong. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word mar'u from muru. On this day, every man, every person, Yafirru, firar, means to run away from something, to try and escape from something that you are terrified from. You're scared. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, man, every person will run. Now, normally in this dunya, when you are scared and you want to escape, who do you run to? Who do you run to? A child is scared, who does he run to? Parents. You run to your family. Whenever there is a disaster, where do you first run? Go to your family. That's who you normally run to. Now listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. On that day, man will run from his brother. Wa ummihi, from his mother. Wa abihi, from his father. Wa sahibatihi, from his spouse, husband and wife. Wabani, and his child, and his children. Everything is flipped around. Now you say, why would somebody run from them? Even that day is scary. So why don't you run and gather together with your families? Any ideas? Some of the scholars have said that on that day, what's going to terrify you is going to be your brother and your mother and your father and your spouse. Why will you be terrified from them? Because in this dunya, who did you spend the most time with? your family? And therefore, whose rights were you most liable to have violated? If I meet somebody once, stranger, I act, give them my best behavior. But the person you are living with, you violate the rights of your siblings. You violate the rights of your spouses. Husband violates the right of the wife. Wife violates the rights of the husband. The children violate the rights of the parents. Sometimes the parents violate the rights of the children because you are living together. Okay. Therefore, the statistical probability is, and you take them for granted, that you have violated more of their rights. And it happens all the time. The father dies. Now the children are violating each other's rights over inheritance. They are violating each other's rights for many. The husband and wife violating each other's rights. Children talking rudely to their parents, violating their rights. Don't want to have anything to do with them. And sometimes parents violating, although that's the last. So what will happen on that day? You will want to run from people whose rights you have violated. Why? Because they will want compensation. Say, give me your good deeds because you did this to me. I was your younger brother. I was your older brother. You deprived me from this. Compensate me with your good deeds. All the rights that were violated, when you see them, I will owe something because everybody will know what they have done that day. So I want to run from people who I am, would have to give my good deeds to. That's for violation of rights. On the other hand, the parents, the brothers might say, I was so good to you. Let me have some of your salah. Mother will say, do you know how many nights how I raised you? The father will say, do you know how much I worked hard to support you and to feed you? Give me some of your hasanat. And the person wants to give none of them. So he wants to be with strangers who can't ask him. So the person will run from their families wanting to preserve their good deeds. Running from a person who you shared a bed with for decades, wa sahibati, wa bani, and your child. Now, most often, the rights of children are the least neglected. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that at the end. The siblings may violate each other's rights more. Parental rights are violated. Husband-wife rights and even the children rights are violated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a scene that is horrific. That's very, very powerful. The people are so scared that they even run from their own family members who they dedicated their whole lives for, but yet violated their rights. The moral of the story of that is, be close to your family, but don't violate anybody's rights. Give everybody the rights. The scariness of this scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Hajj. Okay, what is the symbol of the most tender of relationships? Or the most tender moment of the most tender relationship. The greatest bond, we will agree, is between a mother and a child. And when is the most tender of that relationship? When the mother is nursing the child, right? Breastfeeding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hajj, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا, the day you see it, تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّ أَرْضَعَتْ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا يَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّ أَرْضَعَتْ. On the day you see it, this day of judgment, كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ, all the nursing, breastfeeding mothers, كُلُّ, will abandon, will drop what? Amma arda'at. Allah doesn't even say tifluha, their child. Whatever they were feeding. In other words, she wouldn't even recognize, it's my child. Whatever it is, let me get rid of. Whatever. Ma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word. That most tender relationship, she'll forget who it was, that this is even my child. So this powerful picture is painted after all of those reminders, to show us that even the most important relationships that we have, where most of our effort and our joy was obtained, will be completely forgotten. Not only completely forgotten, but become a liability to be disowned. I had nothing to do with you. Nobody will give one hasanat. Why? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. Every one of them, مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. شَأْنٌ is a very important affair, that everyone will be so consumed with their important affair. What is that affair? In the previous surah, the surah before, Naziat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everyone will know what they have done. And that's going to consume them. I did this, I did this. They are so preoccupied with that. Yughni. This is from Ghana, from Istighna Ghana. That they will feel no need for anything else. They will have no time for anything else. Because their own affairs will be so completely consuming and concerning that they will have no concern for anything else. It will make this person oblivious of everyone except themselves. Our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was describing the Day of Judgment, he said that all humanity will be raised and gathered in one plain field like they were born, barefoot, naked. So like a common, like what would come to your mind, our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, said, Ya Rasulullah, we will all be naked in front of people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Everyone will be so consumed by their worry and their concern and their actions that they will not even notice, they will not even look at anyone. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the two scenarios. He says, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Wujuhi, faces, some faces, not all faces. Some faces, yawmaidin, on that day, musfira. Musfira means would be lit up, bright, beaming, shining, out of happiness. Musfira. The word safara also means to unveil. Okay, that's why when we say safar as travel, because that travel unveils new places to you. We say Safir, the ambassador. He goes and he unveils the message of his master, of his president, or of his king. And similarly, this word is also used for large volume of books because they unveil knowledge to you. That their faces would be unveiled with brightness, happiness. Dahaikatun mustabshira. Dahaikatun means uncontrolled loud laughter that produces sound. So it's not basama, just a smile. They will be so overjoyed and so happy that they will be laughing. They can't control their laughter. Why? Mustabshira, istibshar. Because they would be given the glad tidings of Jannah. The word bashar is also means to peel something away. So what will be peeled away from their faces would be the mask of unhappiness, of concern, of sadness. Now, happy forever, that laughter, that joy will never cease. Wujuhu yawmaidin musfara, bright, dahaikatun, laughing loudly, mustabshira, at the good news. That's one scenario. And the other scenario is, wujuhu yawmaidin alayha ghabara. And some faces and other faces on that day, on them will be ghabar, dust. Dust that cannot be shaken off, that cannot be washed off. not just physical dust, but dusty and darkened because of gloom, of sadness, because of regret. Ghabara, you know, ghubar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses different terms for dust. Here he is used as ghubar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, naq'an, as the dust clouds that the horses in Surah Adiyat raise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word haba'an mumbatha. Their deeds will become such fine dust that you can only see with the sun's rays going through. That their deeds will be like that, meaning meaningless. Here he says it's like a face that's full of dust and dirt out of gloom. It's not physical. Tarhaquha qatara. Tarhaquha means creeping over, coming or overcoming. Qatara, qatara is black smoke that comes for grime that cannot be taken off, like what comes out of a fire of smoke. You go there, everything becomes, your clothes become black. That is qatara. That some faces will become dark, like they have been exposed to black smoke that has covered them all. And this is not going to be physical smoke, because that smoke of the Jahannam is still to come. This is Day of Judgment. This will be because of the humiliation, because of what is coming ahead. And the worst form of humiliation in the Arabic culture and others is the humiliation of the face. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about wujuhi. The faces will be alayha ghabara, tarhaquha qatara. Forced black darkness come over them to show their humiliation. Ulaika humul kafaratul fajra. Who are these? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ulaika, those are the ones, humul kafara. Kafara, the worst of disbelievers. The worst who disbelieved in Allah, in His message, in His book, in the Day of Judgment. Al-fajr. Fujur means to explode, to go beyond. It's, you know, like the fajr. It dispels the darkness. It breaks through the darkness. That these are people who burst through every rule, every law, every act of disobedience proudly. Here's what we are. We are going to do what we want, and we will have a parade of disobedience. Okay? Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people that He is talking about, whose faces will look like that, will be the kafara and the fajra. These are the people who are mentioned in the beginning of the surah, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving dawah to. It ends with those, that these are the ones, the kafara and fajra, who initially felt istighna. And the one who had the fear is the one of the other kind. So you connect the beginning and the end of this surah. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a sahabi who is a no one in society, who is blind, who is challenged. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. But he comes to you fast because he's afraid. He was afraid in the dunya. What is his end? وُجُوهٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفَرَةٍ ضَاحِكَةٍ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٍ, full of joy. And the other one was, وَأَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى. And how about those leaders who thought that they got it all? وُجُوهٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٍ تَرْحَقُهَا قَطَرَةٍ. Disgraced, humiliated, darkened, saddened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the surah. The first word of the surah is the facial expression. Abasa wa tawalla. An expression, an emotion expressed on the face. And he ends the surah again with emotions expressed on the face. The beginning of the end, how they connect with each other. Expressed either with joy or with sadness. The last surah before this, Surah Naziat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the same way. Two situations, but قُلُوبُهُمْ, he talks about the emotions internally. Hearts will be like this and hearts will be like this. And he complements it with the next surah, Right? Those hearts will reflect on faces like this and faces like this. Now, when will these expressions on the face happen? When will they happen? When will you see this joy and when will you see this sadness? إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُبِرَتْ, which is the next ayah. Next ayah is surah, the first ayah of surah At-Takwir. And it starts with إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُبِرَتْ. You will see these when the sun is darkened. In other words, the day of judgment comes. So they all connect with each other. As the Prophet ﷺ taught us, anyone who wants to see the Day of Judgment should read Surah At-Takwir and Al-Infitar. Surah At-Takwir is one of the first ones we covered. I hope some of you remember that. We covered it, I think, in Brother Majid's house, Surah At-Takwir. So go over that. It connects with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing us to the end of this surah, telling us in the end there will be two kinds of emotions of the hearts and the faces. And when will this happen? When the Day of Judgment comes. So this is the end of Surah Abasa. The important takeaway messages, one that has been mentioned before, is that we have a duty as deputies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey the message clearly of Tawheed, of Akhirah, of Risala, of Nabuwah to people, that there is a Day of Judgment coming, that we have to prepare for it. And to show it in the best way, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite them with the best way. But we should focus more on people who are anxious to learn, who want to change their lives, who want to have that smile on their faces on the Day of Judgment. Yet we still have to present the message to everyone. So that number two lesson, that this tazkira, this Quran, has a very high elevated status. This message is the best thing you can give anyone, or best thing anyone can give me. So we have to treat it like that and honor it and learn it and know it ourselves. One way of dishonoring the Quran is not to know what is in it. Okay. So we have to learn. We learn everything else, we say that. And then to act on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Abdullah ibn Maktum came to learn to purify himself so that the reminder would be beneficial for him. So these reminders should help us to benefit us. How do they benefit us? Not by getting a PhD degree in Islamic studies, but by tazkiyah of our nufus, by becoming better human beings, by being representatives, like walking examples of the Quran, like Sayyidi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at our level. That this Quran is meant to change our lives. That what we learn of the Quran has to be implemented in our lives. We have to actualize the teachings of the Quran in our akhlaq. What kind of akhlaq? Even as minor we consider as a facial expression of displeasure, such as a frown or a smile. And the smile is important because Prophet ﷺ said, smile because it is a sadaqah. Smile in the face of your brother. Cheer people up. So every aspect of our lives should be exemplary based on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on how the sahaba understood these, not on our own interpretation. Every aspect, how did they understand, how did they implement? So that's another lesson. And the rest are reminders for us. Okay? We should not just revel in the fact that, oh, we are believers and they are so-and-so is kafir. Well, we may be believers. We don't want to be believers by name. We have to be true believers because for us, there is an added responsibility. Allah expects more from us, like He expected more from Sayyidi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you are the best of human beings, I expect more. So if we claim we are believers, He expects more from us than He does from the disbelievers. So those are all reminders. It's another reminder that we should reflect on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as food, such as drink, such as everything else. When we get a clean bottle of water, you know there are billions of people in the world who have not in their lives had a clear glass of water. Cloudy, muddy, dirty, full of diseases. And we drink half a bottle and we toss the rest out without any thought. Think of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within ourselves and what Allah has given us. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us through this to show gratitude to Him at all times. To remember Him, to show gratitude, to obey, to learn to obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us through this, don't be of those people who will not have to run away from their families, because they would have fulfilled their rights. Because even on that day, there will be people, as mentioned elsewhere, who will be very calm and pleased that the day has finally come, because they led their lives in such a way that they were waiting for it. Who know that none of their deeds will be given to anyone else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to be particular about the rights of others, so we don't have to run from them, because it is a day of absolute justice. Any rights, the slightest, the Prophet ﷺ gave an example of a horned goat with a goat without horn. If one harmed the other, Allah will bring that to justice. Think about the words that we hurt people with. Think about the reputations of people, especially with our tongues. I mean, many people might think, oh, feel rest assured. Oh, I don't harm any. I didn't take anybody's money. I didn't harm anybody. But the tongue. Ya Mu'al. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The tongue, you have to be most careful. How we talk to people, how we talk about people. All of that will be unveiled. And we will know. That's why we will sha'nuin. This is part of our sha'n. The important matter that will consume us that day. So keep that important matter only hasanat. Good. I wish we lead our lives that we have hasanat that we can spare for others. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to internalize this beautiful surah and to take lessons from it and to change our lives accordingly. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.